meow with me, Wampus Cat. Meow. Ah. Meow. Give me a Wampus Cat. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. Let me start that over. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Financial Beast Plaza. Do you know what that means, Randy?
No, but I think you're going to tell me, right?
Financial Beast Plaza. Yeah, you ever listen to the Dave Ramsey show?
Yes, I think I have. Not for a while, but
yeah, he starts, and he's a good show. I'm not making fun of him. I like weird words. His show starts with it says live from Financial Peace Plaza. That's the name of his office. Financial, you know, because he's all about like being peaceful, you know, getting rid of your financial worries. So it's financial.
Get rid of your debt. Yes.
Yeah. So I was thinking our show could be live from Financial Beast Plaza. Although I have a lot of financial peace. My wife and I paid off our credit card debts and cut them up and canceled our credit cards before I ever heard of Dave Ramsey. And I could do his show like 4 out of 5 calls. 1 out of 5 calls, I wouldn't know what to do, man. But, you know, when it's something complicated about like, you know, a spouse in a coma or something, I wouldn't know what to say. But with most of his callers, it's basically just stop being an idiot. That's basically what most of his answers are to people who call in with idiot financial problems.
Don't spend money you don't have.
That's basically everything he says, and he says it really well. And he's on a different network, but I'll say Dave Ramsey does good work in the world, but I'm going to say we're broadcasting from Financial Beast Plaza. And, you know, our co-host tonight is Dr. Randy England. No, it's Mr. Randy England, Esquire. He's an attorney. Are you there, Randy? Are you safe? Have you been contacted by the government?
I have not been contacted by the government today.
Really? Aren't you isn't that unusual? Isn't that unusual? Aren't you contacted by the government almost every day?
Yes, but not today.
I was contacted by the government the other day, and it scared the heck out of me. I got something in the mail that was from, like, you know, my state's Department of Legal Proceedings or something. It had a big shiny badge like printed on the return address, and it was like from the Criminal Investigations Unit. And I was like, why? And it wasn't, you know, to resident, it was like to me. And I was like, what the heck are they writing me for? And, you know, I opened it up and it's just like, your concealed carry permit is expiring. If you'd like to renew it, then send $40. It was basically just them asking for money, demanding money to retain my rights. So that's not scary. That's boring, but it's really square, man.
It was an invoice. You know, sometimes I've gotten a letter several times from my state government that was from the abandoned property division of the Department of Revenue, where they had some money of mine and wanted to give it to me.
And it wasn't a scam.
It wasn't a scam. It was actually one time it was like $800.
Was it a tax refund?
No, it was, I don't remember what it was, but whatever it was, I took it. I took it every time, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's someone would have to be a pretty purist and no government man or anarchist to say, I will not engage in the government even to take my money back that they're offering that they owe me. Yeah.
You would have to be an idiot.
Yeah, you'd have to be an idiot
to actually take that stance, I think.
Yep. And we're going to talk later about when should you talk to the police. But for the first segment, we're going to do something completely ridiculous. Now, here's the thing. On a lot of talk shows, you know, you'll have an attorney come on as a guest and explain the law. And we've had Randy has done that several times in the show, and he'll do it several times again on the show, many times probably. And I mean, a lot of talk shows, you have people who aren't even attorneys attempting to explain the law, which is really sad, because I think, you know, I think if you can get an attorney on, it's a good resource to, you know, have him. You don't want to talk about fishing if he's an attorney, have him come on and talk about the law. But you know, it gets kind of boring after a while to me, and I just want to do something complete. I want to squander a resource. I want to have Randy on, and for at least a half hour, I want to play a parlor game with the audience, and that has nothing to do with explaining the law. It's really wasting having an attorney on.
Well, thank you, Michael.
Yeah. And then later, we're going to talk about Norwegian black metal, which is a extreme type of rock and roll that some of the followers are quite extreme. But we're going to play a game called Fiends Against Humanity Solitaire, but we're playing it together. And if you want to play the home board version of this game, you can go to freedomfiends.com/FAH as fiends, as in Fiends Against Humanity. So Fiends Against Humanity Solitaire, it's basically kind of like the game Apples to Apples. It's kind of like the game Cards Against Humanity. And the Fiends, this show, the Freedom Fiends, we're not against humanity. We love humanity. We embrace it. But this is kind of a crass parlor game. And it basically just takes one from column A and one from column B. I made this website that it's an expansion on my friend Jim's deck of Libertarians Against Humanity. And then I made the Solitaire version. So basically you go to this website, freedomfiends.com/FAH, and you just hit the play button, and it just creates really ridiculous sentences out of one from column A and one from column B that a few different people, Nathan the Ninja Squirrel, myself, and my friend Jim Jesus came up with these, and I think a few other people added a couple of them. But so go ahead and what we're the reason we're doing this, other than it's fun and we want to get people to check this website out and share it with friends, is we want to explain the basic concepts of liberty to people who haven't heard our version of it, because we're on a bunch of new stations this week. So go ahead and spin the wheel, hit the play button there, and read me the first one. You already did one. What do you got? It was a funny one.
I'm doing one. I know I just did one. It's not – if I read one earlier, it's gone. I can't remember what it was when I was playing around, but this is for real now. Okay. And I think this one's right up your alley. Cats perceive humans – as simply Obama lickers.
Well, cats do lick themselves a lot.
But there's some deep wisdom here, and I need you to delve into it.
Okay. Confucius say, cats perceive humanity as simply is something we say on The Fiend sometimes. Is like, you know, a lot of the co-hosts on the show are cat lovers. I'm a cat lover. You have cats, right? Or you've had cats?
I've had cats. I even, when my poor cat died and we had a funeral, I buried him illegally.
Yep, there you go. There you have it. An officer of the court burying his cat illegally. That's my kind of officer of the court. Because, you know, you don't really need to involve the state in that or even a vet. But, okay, so cats perceive humanity as simply. We have talked about how cats are anarchists and libertarians and dogs are statists. And dogs are great, too. We like dogs, but... You know, dogs will rush into a burning building to save you, and cats will just walk across the street to another house that's not burning and try to move in there. And I kind of like that about cats. They're very independent. I like that dogs will try to save you, too. I like the, you know, hero aspect of dogs. I like, you know, why have the state be your hero when your dog can do it for you? But cats are so independent. And the thing is, I believe when cats play with you, when they play really rough and they bite you, the only reason they don't eat you is they're not big enough. Like, basically, if they weighed about four or five times what they weigh and were proportionate musculature, they would eat you. So I think I said at one point on the show something like, cats perceive humanity as simply, you know, someone to bring them food and open and close doors for them. And the second part of that, Obama lickers, that's a really crass term that I made up for people who love Obama. You know, they just, no matter what he does, they love him.
You know, the thing about the cats perceiving human, well, cats being independent and dogs being, well, not that way. It reminds me of the Fat Freddy cartoon.
Oh, yeah. I love Fat Freddy's cat.
Where Fat Freddy said the dogs are fascist. And everybody was horrified by that. And he said, have you ever seen a police cat?
Yeah. Well, there's actually the government, the CIA during the Cold War tried to train cats to like go into the Kremlin. And they surgically implanted like microphones and little radio transmitters in cats and tried to train them to release them around the Kremlin to like spy on, you know, Russian diplomats standing out having a smoke in front of the Kremlin. And they couldn't do it. Like, the cats were not trainable. You can't train cats to do things on command the way you can with dogs, because, you know, they're not useful to and so they're not useful to the government. They don't take orders well, and I like that about cats a lot. So
cats are cool.
Yeah, man. So another thing I got to explain about this game is the answers are all are funny to us either because they're totally amazingly true or because they're amazingly false and ridiculous. And that one was just amazingly ridiculous. So give me another one there, Randy.
See, and I thought it was true. Okay, here we go. We could use the blockchain to deliver raw milk.
Okay. Let me say one thing, though, but if Obama had a cat, it would probably lick him. Cats lick their owners and they clean themselves. They're covered with cat spit. But I can't think of a single president that's ever admitted to having a cat, because I think that cats are so cool and weird that if a president had a cat, people wouldn't have faith in him. They always have dogs because it seems like the American patriotic thing to do, to have a dog at your side. Like a hunting dog or a, I don't know. It just seems more presidential to have a dog. I don't think a president would admit to having a cat. So, okay, we could use the blockchain to deliver raw milk. All right. The blockchain is a reference to Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. A blockchain is a decentralized, encrypted ledger that allows something to happen that never happened before Bitcoin, which is transactions to be done by many people with certain parameters in place, and it's unfakeable. You can't fake it. And it can not only be used as a cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, it can also be used for like deed registration, a lot of things that governments say they need to exist to proof of first authorship, disputes. You could do a lot of things over the blockchain. And not a lot of them have been done with that yet, but there's a few people working on different ways to do it with non-Bitcoin, other cryptocurrency type things or other blockchain technology. And, it could be used to deliver – it's been used to deliver alternative DNS, uncensorable web domains with Namecoin. You can go to meowbit.com to learn how we contributed to that. There's a lot of conjecture and speculation of it could be used to deliver blah, 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 blah. And a lot of people who like Bitcoin but don't really understand the technology behind it say that it could be used to deliver other things. And it's kind of ridiculous to say it could be used to deliver raw milk. It could be used to invoice raw milk or pay for raw milk, but you couldn't actually yet deliver a physical commodity over it. And raw milk is something a lot of libertarians like because it's better for you and the government tries to crack down on it. So people have been arrested for raw milk, selling it to friends who want it. We'll be back.
So maybe you should buy.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, good radio. This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Financial Beast Plaza. Talking to Randy England. That's what I wanted to hear. That's the Wampus Cat sound. You were having technical difficulties with your Wampus Cat earlier?
Yes, I was. But we're all difficulties? Tuned up now.
What can go wrong with that?
Well, if my cat had a cold, it might lose its voice or okay. Something.
Yeah, we have wrestling names on this show. I am the Iron Hamster, and Randy is the Wampus Cat. So you do sound a lot better tonight, Randy. Your audio quality is stellar. What changed?
I am now using the Audio-Technica 2005 USB microphone, which cost half of what my former microphone cost.
And sounds twice as good. And if people want to get a good microphone that plugs directly into your computer with USB and works really well, it's the same one that all of our co-hosts, I think, are using now. I think everyone's using it now. Go to freedomfiends.com, scroll down on the right side of the page, a little ways down the page, there's a picture of a microphone, and it says, get the great microphone our co-hosts use. And I'm on a mission to improve liberty, and that's one of the things I do, not just our show, but every show. So get that mic, man. Don't get that stupid Yeti mic that costs twice as much and sounds half as good. Get this mic. All right, so we're playing Fiends Against Humanity Solitaire. Roll the die there, man. Give me another one.
All right, the computer says, the Wampus Cat, hey, that's me, said it's illegal to have a bogus DMCA claim.
Yep, so you're the Wampus Cat. We explained that. And you're an attorney, so you do tell us sometimes what's legal and what's illegal. You are the house counsel for the Freedom Fiends. And a bogus DMCA claim is a reference to, there's a guy named Stefan Molyneux who makes some popular videos on YouTube, who had some videos by someone else that were critical of him taken down, like removed from YouTube. And it seems he may not have been on the up and up with how he did it. He did it with a DMCA claim, which is a copyright claim, and there really wasn't a copyright violation. It was fair use, and it was criticism. It wasn't even like mean, nasty critique. It was just, hey, he said this, but then he says this. It contradicts, by a channel called True Sheebs. And so in the Liberty community, a bogus DMCA claim has, and I can't really say the claim was bogus. That's for a judge to decide if it ever gets to that point, or I don't even know if it ever would need to or would, but it's for the people to decide. And I think the people have largely decided it was bogus. So, you know, I'm just going by what the kids are saying. I don't know. But a DMCA claim is Digital Millennium Copyright Act. It is a thing that YouTube and other sites have where the site will not get in trouble for what they host if they honor a DMCA claim takedown. And to do a DMCA claim takedown, you have to state that you're not perjuring yourself. So if somebody did it falsely, which there is rumor that this was done falsely, you would be perjuring yourself. And what are the penalties for perjury federally there?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure if that would be federal perjury. You know, it's funny when you say something is illegal. I mean, sometimes I don't know what that means. They used to be, every once in a while, there'll be some legislator who's dumb enough to get a criminal law passed, and they forget to put a penalty in the really? Statute. So it says, you shall not bury your cat within 10 feet of a property
under
line.
Penalty, like under penalty of catapult, yeah.
But then they don't put in that it's a penalty to go with it, and when that happens, it's no law. It's nothing. It's just
words on paper. Man.
Just words on paper. And if there isn't a punishment, then it isn't a crime.
Which doesn't mean it would keep cops from arresting people for it. They arrest people for things that are legal all the time.
Yeah, but cops usually aren't smart enough to look and see if there's a missing penalty clause.
And they also do things that are illegal, like a town in New York State recently added on their requirement for a handgun registration license that you put your Facebook login and password so they can go check and see if, like, you're saying bad things about the government or if you have friends who are felons or I don't know what it is. But they didn't even bother to check that the Supreme Court recently said that that was illegal on job applications, you know. So maybe it is too there. Who knows? But
I've gotten both of those. When I was a prosecutor, I got cases where cops wanted me to prosecute cases that had no penalty. And I also got cases where they wanted me to prosecute crimes that had been struck down as unconstitutional like 15 years before.
Oh, cops.
yeah, right. But they're still there in the statute. So they read the statute, you know, I mean.
Yeah, they don't delete the old one when they add when they undo it. It's still there in the old one.
So anyway.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This is Michael Dean, and that's the Wampus Cat, Randy England. This is the Freedom Fiends coming from Financial Beast Plaza. All right, we're playing Fiends Against Humanity for one more segment here. You can go to freedomfiends.com/f. That's F-A-H. F. All right, give me another one, sir.
Is that the Wyoming pronunciation for fa, F-A-H?
F.
All right. I know we pronounce things different down here in Missouri, so yeah, whatever, it's great. You're wanting the next Fiends Against Humanity, aren't you? That's what you're waiting for. A windowless bunker full of an annoying radio ad about anarchist lapel pins.
I do start the show by saying I'm broadcasting from a windowless bunker. I'm really not. I'm broadcasting from a home in a town that has windows. And The windowless bunker is figurative. It's basically because I'm a self-appointed introvert. I have no problem getting up in front of a crowd, talking to people, but I just prefer to not be around people much. So I kind of insulate myself from the world and stroke my bayonets and polish my rifles.
But is it anything like an undisclosed secure location?
Yeah, it's like that. Let's see. So that's one of the ones, a windowless bunker full of blank. And the blank that's filled in this point is an annoying radio ad about anarchist lapel pins. We have such an ad, or we used to have such an ad, but it got so annoying that we changed it. You'll hear it at some point during this show. It's Davy Barker's Shiny Badges. Davy Barker is one of our co-hosts. You can go to shinybadges.com and check out his stuff. He has some really cool stuff there. And his ad was this catchy, catchy jingle that he paid some gal to write and record, and it was an infectious brainworm. So after a year of running it on this show in Free Talk Live and on Liberty Radio Network, he decided to make one that says it plays about 2 seconds of the ad, and then it's got me like four tracks of me yelling, "Bleh!" And then it's him offering to make amends to the audience for playing that ad for a year by giving a free gift if they write worms when they make an order. And worms is something we say on the Freedom Fiends a lot. It's basically like saying word. It's like saying, I agree, brother, I concur. But it's also like saying hello and goodbye. So it's kind of our aloha, I would say, is worms.
Do you have a hard drive full of annoying radio ads about anarchist lapel pins?
No, but I could certainly fill a thumb drive full of annoying radio ads that I have.
Okay, that's fair. Are you ready for the next one?
I am, sir.
Okay, let me. I had to push the button. It didn't work. Okay, this is a bit of an enigma. The market could easily provide the free market.
Ooh, that's a riddle wrapped in a conundrum.
Yes.
Well, the market could easily provide is something that libertarians often say, you know, in lieu of the government. Like, the market could easily provide protection that's better than the police force. The market could easily provide vetting of food and drugs that's far superior to the Food and Drug Administration at far less the cost. The market could easily provide, you know, a solution for the Ebola problem. Whatever, fill in the blank. I mean, the market could provide everything any government does better without the threat of a gun to your head if you don't comply or pay for it. And interestingly, this one came up. The market could say it again, the whole thing.
The market could easily provide the free market.
Oh, that is complicated.
A little bootstrapping there.
Yeah. Well, you know, markets do support markets, and we use the word the market instead of the phrase the free market generally. We do say the free market, but the problem is with the phrase free market is it's been co-opted by people who really aren't free market. Like, take any Republican when he's running for office, not after he's elected. All politicians sound different when they're running for office than when they're actually in office. And Republicans, over the past, basically since Ron Paul came along and showed the viability of it, and he's the only good politician America has ever had, and I like him better now that he's not a politician. But people say the free – basically Republicans these days try to sound like anarchists when they're running for office, and then they turn into a cross between Joe Stalin and Joe McCarthy once they're elected. And then when it's time to get reelected, they start sounding like anarchists again. But they're really not free market. They're totally into tariffs, which are not free market. Even the small government Republicans in Wyoming, who are looked at nationally as the template for Republicans, should be more like these guys. They're so small government. They still want to add, like income tax on interstate sales over the internet. And there's never been sales tax on things you buy across state lines. But they want to add them because they want to protect brick and mortar stores. So, yeah, and they also love the war on drugs, which is anti-free market. They love to pick winners and losers, man. And they think that they're smarter than the market, and they're not. The market always knows better than what, you know, even economists with degrees know, but most politicians don't have a degree in economics. And if they do, it's the wrong kind of economics.
It would if they would let it. Of course, we've never seen such a free market, right?
No, man. The only free market is the black market.
Silk Road.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, I'm not even talking about drugs and illegal weapon sales. I'm talking about, like, you know, when you, when you trade some vegetables from your garden for your neighbor, for, you know, for their kid coming over and raking your lawn, that's an illegal transaction if you don't declare it on your income taxes. But people do it all the time anyway, and it's the purest form of commerce, and I love it.
Right. But if you did declare it, you would be a what? A law-abiding idiot?
Yep. Yep. All right. What we got next there, Randy?
Oh, what we got next? Now, oh. I just, never mind. Some of these are too dumb even to read.
Yeah, you can be selective.
Okay. All right. If you're silent on the radio for more than 6 seconds, you hear Mexican carry.
Mexican carry.
And you just may need to explain why this is all even in there.
All right. Mexican carry is keeping a pistol in your waistband without a holster. And it's not a reference to, you know, Mexican gangbangers, although some of them do carry like that. It's actually a reference to, you know, vaqueros, like cowboys from the late 1800s from Mexico and, you know, who were in Texas working. And it's actually not a very good way to carry a gun because it can shift, it can fall. I always carry a gun in a holster on my hip, even if it's concealed. But Mexican carry, it's something that our former co-host Nima Vidati liked to do. It also helps if you're young and don't have a beer belly, which he did not back then. And let's see, what's the first part of that one?
If you're silent on the radio for more than 6 seconds, you hear...
Ah, okay. Silence on talk radio or on radio is bad because it usually indicates that something is broken. And talk radio personalities are such talkers that it's extremely rare that they would ever stop and pause for 6 seconds. So literally at our network, Genesis Communications Network, if we stop talking for 6 seconds, actual alarms go off.
You want to test that right now?
I do not want to test that. I don't think our board on Kyle would like it. We would not hear it over the radio, though.
I was just having fun. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, but yeah, it's called a silence alarm. And I have made jokes about that. The first time I heard about that when we got on radio, I was really excited about it because I was like, man, I've always thought my words were so important that, man, if you told me when I was 15, one day you talking will be so important that if you stop for 6 seconds, alarms will go off. I would have really been jazzed by it, and I'm still pretty jazzed by it. So, yep. So Nathan the Ninja Squirrel put that one in there. Give me the next one there, sir. Counselor.
Ben Stone, the bad Quaker, is driving around the country solving the mystery of the free rider problem.
All right. Ben Stone is one of our co-hosts. He does a podcast also called Bad Quaker Podcast. He's a brilliant guy. He's a wise old dude, ex-biker. He's been shot 2 times. He's been shot at 5 times, but he's been shot twice. He's had about 30 concussions in his life. And if you get him early enough in the day before he starts to fade, he's one of the most brilliant people I know. And he and his wife basically retired recently, bought a Winnebago, and are living on the road. And he does the show from the road. Like, he, you know, connects to me over the interwebs and does the show. He's in Louisiana this week. He was in Missouri last week. He's all over the place. And I joked about it that he's driving around the country in a van solving mysteries. That's kind of a reference to Scooby-Doo because they were driving around the country in a van solving mysteries. But I don't know if I've ever said this. It's actually a reference to The Simpsons because at one point in The Simpsons, Marge is complaining about their marriage. Like, you know, I'd never pictured we'd be doing this. And it was something stupid they were doing when we got married. What did you picture we'd be doing when we were married for 20 years, Homer? And he said, I always thought we'd be driving around the country in a van solving mysteries. Which
but kinda, didn't they get that from Scooby-Doo?
They got that from Scooby-Doo, I'm sure.
All right.
Yep. So Ben, I joke that Ben and his wife are driving around the country, and they're happy. They're happily married. I joke that they're driving around the country in a van solving mysteries. And what is the mystery? Oh, the free rider problem. You want to take that one?
Oh, the free rider problem.
Yeah, it's a complaint about liberty.
Okay, libertarian lesson here, right? You know, I'm sure everybody out there, well, not everybody, but the free rider problem is that, you know, in a libertarian society, a free society where things are happened privately rather than the government, say, protective services, you know, police services and that sort of thing. What if everybody didn't pay for the service and only the people that paid for it, well, only the people that paid, that's kind of stupid. Okay. But some people pay, but everybody gets the benefit. The people that are getting the benefit without paying are free riders. So that if I lived in a house and there was a really nice golf course behind me and it was a beautiful view, and every time I went out on my deck and I sat there and looked at the beautiful.
So real quick, in 10 seconds, why is the free rider problem not?
I'm a free rider.
Why is it not a problem?
That doesn't hurt. It's not a problem. People still buy houses even though they have nice views, and they don't get to charge their neighbor for the view.
There you go.
Okay.
They do in New Hampshire. The government does.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Hanging out here at Financial Beast Plaza with Randy England and my cat, Socks. Do you have a cat named Socks?
No, but I know a cat named Socks.
Jim Jesus, who was the originator of the Libertarians Against Humanity game that I helped on, which morphed into the Fiends Against Fiends Against Humanity game we're playing now, wrote me and pointed out that, yes, there was a president with a cat, and it was Clinton. So I sit corrected. And, you know, Clinton was horrible. Obama's horrible. Bush was horrible. One and two. They're all horrible. Oh, I haven't said this hour that Obama is a liar, he's a socialist, and his feet stink. I try to say that at least once an hour if we're not talking about politics. So people tuning in, you know, will know where we stand. So give me another.
So now, did you name your cat after Socks the cat?
I don't have a
Clinton White House.
I do not have a cat named Socks, but I am at Financial Beast Plaza, and there are cat beasts all over the place.
Okay. Are you ready?
I am ready, sir. Give me the envelope.
The Wampus Cat said, it's illegal to have heroin in vending machines.
Why don't you take that one?
Did I say that?
No, you didn't. And that's why it's ridiculous, because it came up. You've never said that.
Well, sure, I've said. Everybody knows that it's illegal to have heroin in vending machines. Perhaps it would be more to the point to whether they should be in vending machines.
Yeah.
Because we know that they're not, right?
Right. And you are the Wampus Cat, and you are an attorney. So give us your opinion, counselor.
Okay. Well, I think it should not be illegal that they would be in vending machines, but I don't think they should be in vending machines. Is that possible to have both of those views?
Yes. Absolutely. And I'm like,
you know, because, you know, children would maybe.
There's people listening who are like, that view is extreme. What are you saying? I don't care that you say it wouldn't be a good idea. You're saying it should be legal. And I'm hearing your opinion and thinking, that is such a square opinion, man. You don't think it should happen.
Okay. Now, I'm talking about in some future free society, because now we have public places. And if you're going to have public places and you're having a vending machine that kids can go up and put $20 in, they shouldn't. Now, if we had a free country and Michael Dean wanted to put in a heroin machine in his party barn.
I don't want heroin, but I don't.
Well, not for you, just for your guests.
For my guests. I don't want heroin to taking guests. But
okay, so you don't really want it either then.
Oh, but I think it should exist. I do. Because there's no reason it shouldn't exist. And if it were legal, it would exist because there's obviously a market for heroin somewhere. You know, I also think there would be medical uses for it. You know, let's say you live out in the country somewhere, you're 60 miles from a hospital, like a lot of people in Wyoming, and, you know, you cut your toe off, you know, chopping your firewood for the winter, and it's 60 miles to the hospital, but it's, you know, on the way on your drive to the hospital, and you're going to have someone drive you or drive yourself with your one good foot because, you know, an ambulance, by the time that gets there, you'll be dead. So, maybe a quarter mile or a half mile down the road from you on the way to the interstate to go to the hospital, there's that bar, that seedy bar that has the heroin vending machine. You'd probably want to stop if you're not driving and take some heroin on the way to the hospital.
I'd probably go for the morphine myself.
Well, yeah.
I've tried that when I had my gallbladder out. It's great.
It's great. Well, heroin is, you know, pharmaceutical heroin used to be a thing, and heroin is basically diacetyl morphine, hydrochloride, or sulfate.
Yeah.
And all it is morphine that's 2.5 times as powerful. So there. You know, you get more bang for your buck. And $20, I mean, Neiman Vedati and I did the maths on it and decided that in Libertarian Paradise, all drugs would cost 7 cents a dose retail.
Seems right to me.
Yep, the markup comes from the prohibition. Real quick, counselor, settle up here. Give your closing arguments. We'll come back for the hour two.
My closing argument.
You got 10 seconds for your closing argument, sir.
10, 9, 8. We'll be back.
After this trip to the free market.
Worms.
We're not going to play this game in the second hour. Don't worry. We're going to talk about Norwegian black metal. It's, I think it's okay. Your favorite kind of music, right, Randy?
All right.
Worms. Earworm into your brain worm into your brain holes. How are you doing, Randy England?
I'm here in central Missouri.
Cool. Well, we're going to talk about Norwegian death metal, Norwegian black metal, which is an extreme form of metal music. And there's interesting things about the bands. And I'm not going to actually play any, I don't know if real Norwegian death metal is the term, because I can't understand the lyrics and it might have cussing, but I'm going to play some music that I know does not have cussing. Not that anybody can understand the lyrics anyway. This band called Death Clock, which is kind of a fake cartoon black metal, actually melodic black metal. It's a flavor of black metal. But they're really good. They're better than most of the bands that they're parodying. They're from an Adult Swim Saturday morning cartoon type show called Metalocalypse, which is a hilarious show. And a lot of people who are actually black metal musicians, which is the darkest of dark metal, do cameos on the show, doing different voices and playing music. And the band Death Clock in this show is they're almost a country. They're a nation. They're the 13th largest economy in the world after Belgium, and they have their own army. So we're going to listen to a little bit of the song Go Into the Water, where Randy looks at the lyrics, to give you a taste for a flavor of melodic black metal. And there is one Norwegian in this fictitious band, Toki Wartooth, one of the guitar players. So here we go, man. No audio. Now?
Good.
You have audio? Yes?
Yes.
Good. that was Death Clock, going all the way back to 2010 with the song Go Into the Water. What'd you think about that, Randy? Did you like that? Was that a toe-tapping number? And I'd give it an 8. I think the kids can dance to it. Is that what you thought? Randy? Hello? Hello? Did we lose you, Randy?
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Were you talking to me?
Yes.
Honestly, I just put on the mute and laid my head back, closed my eyes, and just really dug it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you turned on the mute so you didn't have to hear it and you really avoided it.
No, I turned on the mute so you couldn't hear me singing along with the lyrics.
You know, I think we actually got to test the alarms there because I didn't have, because the cats had walked across the mixing board and muted that channel. I could hear it and you could hear it, but it wasn't going out on radio for about the first 20 seconds. Can our board op jump in here and tell us, did alarms go off?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That was purely accidental.
Yeah, we didn't get to hear it. He was going, no audio, no audio, to me. Like, it did not probably go out on radio. But I couldn't hear him over the music, and I thought he was saying, too loud, too loud. And I was turning it down a little bit, and he kept saying something. And finally, I was like, what? Which probably went out. So, you know, this is the Freedom Fiends kind of bring a little bit of that, like, college radio vibe to syndicated talk radio. And so yeah, man, let's get your feedback there on going okay, into the
water. This is what you call melodic black metal.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You know, see, I'm probably the wrong guy to ask, because as old as I am, when you talk about you know, heavy metal, black, whatever, I don't know, metal music, I'm thinking, you know, Black Sabbath. I mean, my first concert was Iron Butterfly, you know, 1968 or 9, something like that.
Wow.
And maybe, you know, Alice Cooper or something. When we got on to, like, up to, what, the 80s, I had so many little kids running around my feet that I didn't have time to keep up.
You should have taught them to play an instrument and started a black metal band with them.
I taught them all how to play instruments, but when they started playing, they didn't do black metal. They were doing stuff like, I can't even think of all Smashing Pumpkins. What was in the 90s?
Smashing Pumpkins was in the 90s. They were really
Green
good.
Day. Yeah. I don't know who else.
Yeah.
For like 8 years, we had a band in our basement when my kids were growing up the whole time. So
yeah,
we had it. But still, I did not get introduced to black Norwegian metal. And so that's, you are about to close that gap in my education. I thank you for that.
Yeah, well, one of the cards in Fiends Against Humanity, one of the response cards is, there's two of them. One is freaking out the normals by showing them a documentary about a windowless punk rock bunker in the Midwest, which we did a couple weeks ago when we talked about the outhouse, the film.
That was nothing.
That was nothing. Yeah, and that was like kind of shocking in a way, like, oh, those kids seem nihilistic and they have weird haircuts. But literally Norwegian black metal, some of it, not Death Clock, but some of it makes like the worst punk rockers you've ever seen seem like choir boys, because literally there are some Norwegian black metal bands that went on a spree of burning down churches. One of the guys in one of the bands blew his brains out, and his roommate made stew out of part of his brains and then made a necklace out of part of his skull. These people are serious, man, and they're scary, and it's extreme. Yeah,
I assume they also went on a spree of sitting in a jail cell for decades.
Yeah, Varg Vikrens of the one-man band Burnsum. The interesting thing is, in Norway, and this is, sounds like socialism at its best to me, or at its worst, in Norway, no matter what you do or how many people you kill or what horrible, heinous, actual crimes you commit, you can't be sentenced to prison for more than 21 years.
Boy, Charlie Manson did his work in the wrong place.
Yeah, and we're not venerating these people. They're all scumbags, but it's just a really bizarre culture. I mean, the church burnings apparently were like, the guy who did them explained them as like, you know, it was his Viking heritage, and the, you know, the church came over and ruined the Vikings. Although some of the Vikings became assimilated and became Christians, but Yeah, man, Norwegian black metal. It's kind of scary.
Actually, the Vikings kind of got sick of all that crazy stuff and became peaceful before Christianity came to Norway, didn't it? Didn't they found Iceland?
Yeah,
and to get away from all that pillaging and
well,
things?
I also wonder too if the pillaging of the Vikings was exaggerated, because you know history is written by the victors, and the Vikings were not the victors. The English wrote the history on that stuff. So in the Romans, so yeah, they might have been. You know, people always make up about any culture that comes through and doesn't like their culture. They always make up horrible things about them. Like even people who are horrible, like Idi Amin, you know, they made up rumors that he was eating babies. He was probably not eating babies, but it just made him sound worse than, oh, he kills everyone who disagrees with him and he starves his people and takes all their money.
Although you have to wonder when the Scots, the English, the Irish, the Italians, the Sicilians, and who they all kind of told kind of a similar story there on the Vikings. I mean, there's got to be something to it, right?
Yeah, but I can think of horrible things I've heard about every ethnicity you just named, too.
Well, except the United States.
Yeah. Well, interesting, too, that they had to make up rumors that Idi Amin was a cannibal because it wasn't bad enough to say he murders people who disagree with him politically and he starves his citizens and takes their money, because killing your enemies and people who disagree with you if you're a politician and taking everyone's money to the point where they're starving and you're living like a king is such like normal behavior for politicians that it wasn't bad enough and they had to make up other things. What does that say about politics?
That's really true. You have these horrible people. You remember back in 1990 when Saddam Hussein, you know, invaded Kuwait, and they had to make, as bad as that was, they had to make up a story about how his soldiers were going into premature baby hospitals, that going into the baby unit and pulling premature babies out of incubators and bashing their brains out on the tile, you know? I mean, it was total lies, but it was testified before Congress that they were doing this.
Yeah, and it was testified before Congress that he had weapons of mass destruction, which he did not. And America still over there, you know, occupying and taking the oil and, having American firms like Halliburton rebuild the country that America bombed in the first place and saying it's humanitarian aid.
Yeah, well, you always have to demonize, you know, the enemy as if they're really bad. I mean, that ought to be enough. You're right.
Yeah, I'm always careful about what I say about Halliburton because I live in Wyoming and this state lives and dies by Wyoming. I mean, by Halliburton. Like every fifth person work here probably works for that company. And Dick Cheney lives here, and I imagine that Dick Cheney probably has a button on his smartphone that just can drone my house. So I
now the black metal guys. Okay, I mean, but they're kind of going with the Viking vibe, though, the real violent,
yeah.
horrible thing, right?
Yeah.
What else do you know about them?
You know, I remember when I was listening to punk rock in the early 80s and playing in punk rock bands, and there was such a backlash to that kind of music from the media and from grown-ups and squares. I remember, and I didn't really explain this well enough the other night when we were talking about Dead Kennedys, I said, you know, it kind of had a vibe of that because there were some jocks that were attracted to punk rock and would break stuff and beat each other up. But what I forgot to say was that the media came out in swarms, and every news outlet in the country and in the world did multiple articles where they would find that one idiot at each show and interview him and make it look like that was punk rock. I mean, I remember an episode of Quincy ME, you know, the first forensic cop show or forensic science show, where the medical examiner, you know, it was called Murder, Mayhem, and Punk Rock, and it was about murders at punk rock shows, and that didn't happen, man. Worms.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This is the Freedom Fiends coming to you live from Financial Beast Plaza. I'm talking to Randy England, and the topic tonight is Norwegian black metal. Too far? Okay, so here's what I was going at when we went to the ad. Was I was thinking when I was a punk rocker, back in the, you know, mid to late 80s and early 90s, playing punk rock bands and going to punk rock shows a lot. The media thought we were horrible. And, you know, cowboys and rednecks threw bottles at us on the street. And, you know, we were pretty much peaceful people, me and my crowd, but me and my gang. But we were reviled, you know, and it got me thinking at the time, like how every generation hates the music of the next generation, you know. And like, I mean, you go back to like Elvis. Like, Elvis is the tamest music in the world, but when he was on TV, he shocked people because he was sexy and he gyrated his hips and people were like, you know. And then the Beatles came on and made Elvis look quaint. They came around, you know, because they like had longer hair and they took LSD and they talked about, you know, give peace a chance, and that was shocking. And then you know, what came after that? I don't know. The Rolling Stones were kind of a little more shocking than Beatles in some ways, I thought. And, then a bunch of other stuff happened. Then punk rock happened, man. And it, like, you know, people who grew up loving rock music and even heavy music, like Black Sabbath. Like, I remember people who liked Black Sabbath hating punk rock and like, that's too far. That goes too far. That's not music. And I remember thinking when I was in punk rock in the 80s and 90s, like, what's going to be next that's going to make people say, that's not music and that goes too far? And I predicted that it was going to be music talking about murder. And it happened. And then gangster rap came around and it was people, you know, glorifying murder. And a lot of people said, that's not music. And then I thought, okay, what's next? What's going to make rap fans say that goes too far and that's not music? And I think it's Norwegian black metal and the church burnings. And I think that goes too far. And I'm sure there's, you know, some Norwegian black metal fan, you know, who is hearing me, probably not on talk radio, but on the internet, saying, you know, church burnings goes too far. And he's probably sitting there looking at his radio going, ah, shut up, grandpa, you're square. But I will say it. I think that church burnings go too far. So this guy did 50 church arsons and went to jail for 21 years. And that's how it is in most of Scandinavia. That guy, that like white power guy that shot a bunch of kids at some multinational school, I mean, shot 20 or 30 kids with a foul rifle and killed them. He got 21 years in prison. What do you think of that, counselor?
Well, when you say it goes too far, you know, church burnings, are you talking about actually doing the burnings or just singing about it?
No, doing them. And not only, you know, destruction of property, but like churches that were like 300-400 years old, like historical, you know, buildings.
You know, one thing I was looking on the, I looked up black metal on Wikipedia trying to learn something here, and I have it up in front of me. There's a, is there kind of a Satanist streak running through the black metal?
It's more pagan. There are all branches of it. There's also National Socialist black metal, which is white power Nazi stuff, which is horrible. But yeah, there's probably there are some satanic bands like that, but more than that, it's pagan or Viking.
But there's really doesn't seem to be atheist black metal. It's like we're picking a side, and it's the dark side. You know, I guess you would say, is that fair?
Sure.
I mean, no, I don't know it's if I'm called going to my
it's
ignorance.
Called black metal. You can call it dark music. Sure, it's right there in the name, man. It's
yeah, dark. Yeah. No, and see that part I don't get. I mean, for me, I mean, I'm a Christian, and okay, I think there's, you know, this side, and I think there's the other side. I believe that there's this dark thing, and I understand atheists completely. And if I didn't believe, I would just be an atheist. But if I believed there was the one and the other, like I wouldn't pick the losing side, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's actually different brands of Satanism too. I was looking at the Wikipedia page on Satanism the other day, just trying to be like, what are these people into? Cause I'm a deist. I believe in God, but I, you know, don't believe in acts of faith. I'm like, Thomas Jefferson was a deist. Before that scares you, patriots, remember Thomas Jefferson was a deist. He also, do you know about the Jefferson Bible? He took the Bible and took a razor blade and cut it up and cut out all the miracles and republished it as the Jefferson Bible. Do you know about that?
I do know about that. It was just sort of the Bible according to Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, which, you know, according to the last passage in the book of Revelations would be a sin, because it says anyone who takes away from the words herein, so shall God take away from his rewards, which is like the best copyright ever. Like, you're going to lose your place in heaven if you alter these words. It's better than the copyright, isn't it?
Yeah, that was a warning in the book of Revelation. I don't think it referred.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and the Freedom Fiends counselor, Randy England, has led me away from thinking it's a good idea to talk about church burnings and heroin in vending machines. I'm in favor of the heroin in vending machines. I'm absolutely not in favor of the church burnings. I am absolutely against any kind of property destruction, and that is the topic of the next segment. We're looking at freekeen.com. Ian Freeman from Free Talk Live runs it as a collaborative blog with a bunch of other libertarians. It's all news from New Hampshire, and it has gotten a lot of hits in the international stage lately because there was a pumpkin riot in Keene. If you've been living in a cave, you might not know about this, but there's this thing called the Pumpkin Fest in Keene, New Hampshire every year, and it's an idyllic little, you know, family get-together where people come out and make jack-o'-lanterns, and they actually are in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most lit jack-o'-lanterns in one place at one time a few years back. And it was peaceful this year too, Pumpkin Fest. But people come in from out of town when it's the weekend of Pumpkin Fest, and some of them cause problems. And there are generally, you know, some arrests and some broken windows and some broken bottles and some fights and you know, just general college partying somewhere between boys will be boys and burning the city to the ground. And this year it was a little more on the end of burning the city to the ground. There were some riots, you know, and the police kind of stood by and let it happen and let people get hurt and let property get damaged and did not do their job. And then also the police went and arrested some people that were just walking down the street, you know, so they did too much in some situations and too little in other situations. But Ian Freeman, being the citizen journalist that he is, and he was walking down the street and some out of town cop that had been called in said, "You can't go down this street." And he said, "I'm with the press." And the cop said, "No, you're not." And Ian said, "Yes, I am. I'm with Free Keene." And the cop didn't know what that was and let him down the street because he said it confidently and non-combatively, which is how you should do that.
And truthfully.
Yeah. And Ian, you know, he's not authorized, government regulated and, you know, recognized, you know, he's not ABC, NBC or CBS, but he's a journalist. And actually ABC, CBS and NBC have been playing his video and talking about his eyewitness view of this stuff. He went to where there was a bottle fight going on, something most people would run away from. And he walked up to some guy who lived on that street and said, "Can I stand on your porch and film this?" And the guy said, "Yeah, why don't you come up on the second floor? There's a better view from the window." And he went up there, you know, just stranger, kindness of the stranger, letting him in his house. And Ian got amazing footage, high def, where you could see everyone's faces who were throwing bottles at other people and causing damage and shooting fireworks at people's houses, which is, you know, could be considered attempted arson. I would consider that if someone were shooting them at my house. And I said when this came out, and his videos had like 50,000 views in a few days on YouTube. But when that happened, I said, "I'll bet you the police are going to use his video to figure out who to arrest." And they are. And he's kind of taking heat for it from statists who don't like Ian and don't like freedom and don't like Free State New Hampshire and don't like Free Keene. You know, they're saying, "Oh, Ian says you should, you know, never call the police, blah, 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 don't take a plea," you know, a lot of the things that activists say, and they're calling him a hypocrite. And I do not think he's a hypocrite, even for what he did today, which was filmed himself going into the police station, voluntarily turning over the higher def raw footage of it to help the police. What do you think of this story, Randy?
Well, it's not really surprising. There's nothing wrong with what Ian's doing in this world that we have. You know, one day there'll be when we have the libertarian paradise or libpair, as we call it, there will still be crimes like that, property damage and assault and things like that, and you hope that people will will cooperate and be there to help their neighbors bring those people to justice and get their damages taken care of and things like that. So I don't see any conflict with it at all. And certain, I guess, if some people think this is a compromise, there are certain half compromises or measures I think you have to do when you're still living in this world instead of that new world.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
And you talked about that you thought there might be some unintended consequences here. What were they?
Well, you know, the thing that I wonder about is, okay, so Ian turned over the footage, and even if he hadn't turned it over, when he posted it on whatever, Freekeen or on YouTube or something,
yeah,
figured that the authorities were going to use it, and I expect they will. I watched it, and you could see plenty of people. I saw, you know, more crimes than I can count just watching it.
Yeah, real crimes, too.
Yeah, real crimes where people are either hurting other people or hurting people's property or at least endangering. I mean, I'm not talking about the yelling and the cussing and things like that, but things where people are actually damaged. I assume that Ian understands that it will probably require his testimony in court to authenticate the video. And he'll get a subpoena, and it's not over for him just turning over the
Think he will mind that at all. I don't want to second guess him, and you know, he can call in if he wants. He's probably listening, but yeah, he pretty much lives in the court there. You know, he's always being arrested for something or prosecuted for something. I mean, recently they did a really bogus prosecution on him and gave him sentencing for it. Do you know about the ID thing?
Oh, I did. I saw that. I didn't. That wasn't any fun.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they wouldn't need to subpoena him if he's always there. They just ask him to come up.
Oh, yeah. He's up. You know, he'll probably just be in the hallway filming people and asking him questions, and they'll just ask him to come in. No, they'll probably subpoena him. I think his ban from the courthouse is over. He was actually banned from going to the courthouse at one point, except for when he's subpoenaed.
You know, the kind of the way that I feel about it is that if this was a free society, would I be willing to go in and testify on something like that? Well, I think I would.
Absolutely.
And so I don't have a problem with going in there and doing it. I mean, I've done that. You mentioned Ben Stone's gotten shot at three times or whatever, that sort of shot and shot at and all that. Well, I've only been shot at once. But when the robber had his trial, I showed up and said, "That's the guy," you know, and here's what happened.
Yeah, man.
And I didn't have the slightest problem with doing that because that's legitimate. And right now I don't have a different system to work in. I have to work in this one. And that was the only way we were going to get that clown behind bars.
Yeah. And that's one of the bogus complaints about this whole situation. I've heard a few statists making kind of who would build the roads, you know, or like arguments that are kind of along the lines of, if you should love the government if you use the roads, which is a bogus argument because the only roads you can use to get from some points to some points are government roads. So you have to use them even if you don't like the government or the system that's used to make those roads. The complaint I'm hearing is that these riots in Keene are a proof of the failure of the free market because there should have been a private citizen police agency to come in and protect people and stop these people. That's completely ridiculous because while those cops were standing there watching this whole thing all over the city go on, if you'd gone in with your 6 or 12 man militia and your shotguns and your rifles and a bullhorn and said, "Citizens, leave this area. You are in violation of law. You're committing crimes." The cops would have probably shot them or at least arrested them. They would not. There's a monopoly. The cops have a monopoly. And if you go in and try to do something like that, they're not going to let you do it.
Yeah, we're stuck with the system that we've got at the moment. So we're going to drive on the roads. And if somebody commits a serious crime against us, we're probably going to call the cops.
Yeah,
we don't really have a choice.
And a good unintended consequence, or perhaps it's an intended consequence, I'm not sure, of him turning this over to the police, other than proving, you know, I don't just hate cops. I don't just hate all of you people and think you're all horrible. You know, he's basically saying, I'm doing the right thing here. Let's see if you guys do something good with it. And I think they will need to arrest some people because there's international attention on this. And if they don't arrest some people, they're going to look really bad. But a consequence of this, I think, will be that because arrests will come out of what came out of Ian Freeman's camera, people are going to really think twice about messing with the Free Keene people or the Free State Project people, because the Free State Project people and the Free Keene people, for the most part, are law abiding, you know, even the nanny laws, like, you know, occasionally they break the nanny laws, but none of them are aggressing on people. They all walk, a lot of them walk around wearing pistols and talking about secession, but they're peaceful. They don't hurt people.
Right. And the discussion itself will draw a real fine line between the victimless crimes and the crimes that should be prosecuted.
Yeah.
And if people talk about it, that's good.
Well, and then, but there are people that hate those activists in Keene and have whole websites devoted to hating them. Like, I grew up here, I'm sixth generation, these people are interlopers, they should go away.
Well, they can suck it up.
But on those forums, there are occasionally calls for violence against the libertarian activists. You know, the people who love the troops and love the country and love the flag and want to do what the government says no matter what are talking about, some of them, a few of them are talking about doing violent things. And one of them has actually been arrested for walking up to somebody and, you know, doing something violent that put somebody in the hospital, it wasn't one of the Free Keeners, but it was one of the libertarian activists. So, you know, this is going to be the second time when the fact that these people, these good people and the liberty people walk around with cameras all the time, it's going to make it really, someone's going to have to think twice before they go, yeah, let's go up and sucker punch that guy, or let's throw a bottle through their window, or let's jump him and beat him up. Because chances are whoever does that is going to go to jail. Whereas usually a lot of real crimes, no one goes to jail because there's no witness or no camera. But this is going to be the second situation, at least, where people go to jail for actual crimes because one of the Free Keeners was walking around with a camera. Might be.
I like it. I think I think it's a good idea. And those people, it'll make them put them in a worse position. It's going to raise the position of the Free Keeners. I mean, they've got, you know, certain things that people are that don't like what the Robin Hooders and that.
If you don't know who the Robin Hooders are, they're people who walk around putting nickels in parking meters to keep the city from writing tickets on people. We totally.
How much money did it cost the city?
Oh, I don't know, but I know that it's a complete ridiculous racket because the amount they generate versus the amount they spend doing it is almost net-net. And actually, they're losing money on it because they're not even using the city attorney. They're hiring a private attorney to go after the people peacefully putting nickels in parking meters in Keene. We'll be back on the Free Market Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends. And this is the redemption in the third act. It's our final segment for this evening. And we were talking about citizen journalism and how cameras can help good things happen. They shouldn't just be in the hands of the police or the media, because those two groups of people often creatively edit the truth in media they have or lose their body cam when it suits them. And this kind of segues out of that. Someone's come up with an app that helps you when you don't want to call 911 because you don't want to wait forever. And you don't want to necessarily just shoot somebody, because that's not the only appropriate thing in a lot of situations. In a lot of situations, you know, think about what you're doing when you're calling the cops. You're calling someone to come there, you know, to be your backup. And more often than not, they're not your backup, as you can find out by a lot of things these days, including the freethoughtproject.com, which is where Randy found this, which has a lot of stories of police abuses in it. But basically, when you're calling the cops, you're hoping a man with a gun shows up to make it right. And more often than not, he just shoots your dog and arrests you, even when you're the victim. Not all the time, but more often than it used to be. And there's an app for your phone called the Peacekeeper at peacekeeper.org. And it's something for calling a preset bunch of neighbors for different things. And the Right Honorable Randy England is going to tell us about it now.
That was Randy England Esquire.
That too.
Don't call me that, please. Only judges and prosecutors are honorable.
You know, I watched this documentary the other day. It was pretty bizarre that I'm going to talk about at some point in the future. And there was a French guy in there, but he's speaking English, and he was a criminal who'd spent some time in prison for impersonating a lost child in Texas. Whenever he spoke English fairly well with a deep French accent, but he kept saying persecutor instead of prosecutor, and he didn't seem like he was making a joke. In French, I wonder, is the word for prosecutor persecutor?
From my high school French, no. That seems to be in the same category as the people who say public pretender or something like that.
All right, so tell me about the Peacekeeper. Why should I get it? Where can I get it?
Well, the article at Free Thought Project, and it says that for every 100 people who call 911, 33 people wait from 11 minutes to an hour to get help, unless you're in a poor neighborhood, and then it's worse.
Yeah.
And so you have this app that's available on your iPhone or on your Android. I think you pay it's $2.99 on it. But it's, I guess the idea, it's kind of super fast. You can plug into, you set up a response group, I think they call it, and you can put in anyone you want there. It can be like your next door neighbors, maybe a dozen people that are around you. I think you have up to a dozen, or you can put your mom and your dad, or you put anybody you want on it. But I think what you would really want would be like a real close neighbor.
Yeah. And you can set up one for health emergency, one for police emergency kind of thing. Like let's say you had a neighbor that was a friend of yours that was a nurse or a doctor. You might push that button and see if they're around. If it's something that doesn't necessarily need an ambulance in an emergency room, but it's first aid beyond what you know, you could call them over. If it's someone breaking into your house, you might be calling four neighbors with guns and two neighbors with video cameras. You know,
yeah. On the app, they have when you push the button, apparently a big screen comes up and has four main categories. And you press intruder, medical, fire, or abduction. And I think the idea is that each one of those will send a tailored message to everybody in your group.
Yeah.
So that, they kind of know what's going on. I guess if it was a fire, you might not grab your revolver before you went next door. But if it was an intruder, maybe you would. I don't know. But it has some other kind of neat things in it. I mean, it happens real quick. It takes almost no time to do it. It says, And during the alert, any of the responders, they have a button when the notice comes up on their phone, and you press a button that says, I'm on it.
Yeah.
And then you know who's coming, and it goes back to the person who sent the alert.
That's very cool, man. So they know who's coming. And you can check it out at peacekeeper.org. That's peacekeeper.org. This has been the Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and Randy England. Thank you for your service, Randy. It's been a great show.
Hey, it's been a blast, Michael. See you next time.
Worms.
Worms.
Worms. Worms.